This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. When Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman swept the Tony Awards in 1949, it was heralded as an American masterpiece. The playwright recalled that during the play's first run, grown men could be seen openly weeping.
I know who I am. Now, why can't I say that, Willie?
The door of your life is wide open!
So, Pop, I am a dime a dozen, and so are you.
I am not a dime a dozen! I am Willie Loman, and you are Fifth Loman!
I am not a leader of men, Willie, and neither are you. You were never anything but a hardworking drummer who landed in the ash can like all the rest of them. I am $1 an hour, Willie. I am not bringing home.
Dustin Hoffman and John Malkovich there in a scene from the 1985 film adaptation of Death of a Salesman. These days, the price of a ticket for the Broadway revival may be as out of reach for the average American family as an athletic scholarship was for Biff Loman. Lee Siegel is a cultural critic, author of Harvard is Burning, and a contributor to publications such as the New York Times, where he recently wrote an op-ed called Death of a Salesman's Dreams. Lee, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Great to be here.
For listeners who don't know, Death of a Salesman is now back on Broadway with Philip Seymour Hoffman as the dejected Willie Loman. How is the production being received?
Well, pretty tepid, actually. The Times panned it, and the New York Times review was all-powerful, and other critics gave it a kind of dutiful praise. I think there's a unanimous feeling that Philip Seymour Hoffman has turned in a bravura performance, but I feel that even such praise as it's gotten has been fairly perfunctory.
How much are tickets?
From $111 to $840.
$840. When playwright Arthur Miller, also well known for The Crucible and many other plays, of course, how much were the tickets for Death of a Salesman in that 1949 production?
Something like $1.80 to $4.80. The difference is radical. Even adjusting for inflation, it's 10 times more than it was.
So it probably would have been seen by the middle class. Those men Miller saw bent over and weeping.
Right, exactly. Those men bent over and weeping were like Willie. They were making $40, $50, $60 a week, and they were working in one of the jobs in the plentiful, humbler realms of mid-20th century capitalism, middle management, sales, manufacturing. Those jobs have dried up.
So for you, Lee, the story is much bigger than ticket prices over the last 60 years. Well, what does this really highlight for you?
Well, first of all, the change in the tax structure has created a stratum of Americans who can afford to pay inflated prices for everything from theater tickets to health care and college tuition. The top marginal rate in 1949 was something like 82%. In 1988, by 1988, it had dropped to 28%. So it created these people who can afford inflated prices, and that drew up prices for everyone else. And that's one of the radical changes. You know, Willie and Linda are scrounging to make payments on their refrigerator every month, mm-hmm. but they're still solidly in the middle class. Anyone in that position now would have slipped out of the middle class long ago.
Which makes this a little bit more of an anthropological spectacle, as you're pointing out. You know, people who basically can afford tickets for several hundreds of dollars, kind of watching the dignity of the middle class being worn down.
Well, it's like the change from in 1949 and throughout the 50s, all those lovable sitcoms where conflicts between people are resolved into neighborly harmony, all of that giving way now to the Darwinian Armageddons of reality TV. It's as if the middle class were being forced to watch the gladiatorial spectacle of its own destruction.
Well, do you think the middle class is actually interested in seeing Death of a Salesman?
I think the people whose experience it would reflect, people who've lost their homes, people who've lost their jobs, people who are struggling on the edges of the great cities and in other places in the country, I think that to some extent the play would reflect their experience, but they can't afford to see it.
I guess the point is also not only were you more likely to see a reflection of your own life on stage if you were a member of the middle class seeing that play through many years of Broadway revivals, you'd also be likely to be rubbing elbows or sitting next to somebody who could be running a company. Now, not so much?
Well, it's true. There were electricians and plumbers and people like that, I'm sure, in the original audience for the play, but there was also Bernard Gimbel, the owner of Gimbel's department store. After seeing the play, Gimbel instructed his managers to never fire anyone because of their age. He was so affected by what happened to Willie, being fired at the age of 63. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you're right. The different classes were more likely to mix then than now.
I'm wondering if there's any way to make Broadway more accessible, you know, sort of like the Metropolitan Opera's Live in HD series where it's broadcast to theaters all over the country. You see that coming down the road?
I wish that could happen. You know, it's so hard for Broadway. It's been hard for decades because, of course, in 1949, the theater was an affordable middle class, even working class diversion. But then TV became the dominant medium. And theater was, and movies became more and more powerful in the culture, and theater was kind of moved aside. I think theater's problems are competing with TV and movies, but also the timidity, the understandable timidity of producers who just don't want to put on anything original. They're afraid they'll lose their money, of course. So instead, you get all these revivals. You have Streetcar Named Desire, mm-hmm. right down the street, being revived with an all-black cast. Very interesting, because I think that Death of a Salesman should have an all-black cast. I think that would make it even more powerful. Mm. But you have all these revivals, and even when you get an original play like Angels in America, which is a biting protest play in many ways, that was about Reagan's America, but that didn't get staged until 10 years after Reagan was gone from the White House. So it's very difficult to get, a Brecht and Viles Three Penny Opera or something like that on stage, partly because I think it's hard to make sense for an artist, for a playwright, of what's going on in America now, and partly because producers are just afraid of losing money.
Lee, we're just about to run out of time, but there are discount seats for most Broadway performances, you know, the TKTS kind of thing, available for those willing to wait a few hours in line before the show. Correct.
Oh, yeah. And that's how I got to the theater when I was a student, I remember. And, yeah, you can do that. But for people who are Willie's age, 63, waiting in line for hours maybe is not the most comfortable alternative.
Yeah, not the dignity of the middle class he's going for. Well, I want to thank you, Lee, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Lee Siegel, a cultural critic who's written for Harper's, The Nation, Slate, and many more publications. His recent New York Times op-ed is called The Death of a Salesman's Dreams. And you can find a link at wordofmouthradio.org.